greatest privileges that we have as born-again believers is that in times of trouble, when there's storms out in the world, that we can be at peace with God and that our hope is in Him. When I say hope, I don't mean like I kind of think it might happen. The Bible says Abraham hoped against hope. Now, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. We got anybody 100 years old? We had one guy that was 91 in the last service. I was like 9 more years and you could have had a baby. But the real amazing part wasn't that Abraham was 100, it was that Sarah was 90 when she gave birth. Don't think about that too long. Woo! Almost 90 years ago, a little-known American inventor born of Russian descent named Vladimir Zorkin began to work for the Westinghouse Electric Corporation. Over the next few years, Zorkin worked on an idea called an iconoscope and kinescope. The kinescope would eventually become known as the cathode ray tube. And in 1929, Mr. Zorkin revealed his great invention to the whole world in a much publicized demonstration. The iconoscope became the TV camera for broadcasting, and the cathode ray tube became the TV receiver. All this came about because of a small seed of hope. Everybody say hope. A small seed of hope that began as an idea in the mind of one man. Now, because of that hope, the hope transformed into action. We all sit and watch in the branches of the tree that grew from a small mustard seed of hope. From a small seed of an idea, great things can grow. And so it was, so it is with faith in God and with the blessed hope of His presence. We can embrace the kingdom of God with confidence in our heart. We can have peace in our lives in the middle of the storm because God is going to make a way. He's going to put ideas in the hearts and in the minds of born-again believers that we are going to operate under the kingdom idea that God has for us, and we don't operate the way the world operates. Because our God is all-knowing, He is all-powerful, He is omnipresent. He is everything to me, and we can have complete confidence that what God says He will do. Yes. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. This is our verse for the day. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Paul's letter, the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. How many is thankful for forgiveness of sin? Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. According to the riches of His grace. In other words, He doesn't run out of grace. He's got a lot of it. Which He made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He does wisdom. He does grace with wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Having made known, is there anybody here that has ever wrestled with the mystery of God's will for you as an individual? My name's Randy Weaver. I've done a lot of wrestling with that. What do you want me to do? What is your purpose for my life? What do you want me to do today? What is the mystery of your will? He said that He has made available the mystery of His will to every believer. Stay right there. Stay there. And then He said this, that he purposed in himself, according to his good pleasure, that the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In other words, he wants to gather everything together to him, everything on earth and everything on heaven. God's plan is not that any should perish, but that all should come to a place. His plan is to gather all people and all things unto him for his glory. It says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined in the purpose of him. In other words, you and I are predestined with a purpose for him. Now, some will say that there are only a few people that God predestines to go to heaven, and he picks and he chooses who's going and who's not going to go. But I would say to you that God is not willing, according to the word of God, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. So God has predestined you for his purpose and for his glory. Yes, right. So when we rope years ago, and we still do this, we pray before we rope. And when my kids was growing up, we'd always pray. And my son would always pray this. He said, Lord, help us to glorify you and not the roping. That the thing that we do today, whether we're roping or whether we're going out in a boat or we're cooking barbecue or we're working with the vet or whatever we're doing, that we are doing it for God's glory. That God would get glory from what I'm doing. And that we wouldn't glorify what we're doing, but we would glorify God in what we're doing. Because we have been predestined that he would bring all things unto him and under his power and under his glory and under his strength. So we inherit this, we obtain this inheritance as sons and daughters, as joint heirs with Christ. So we have an amazing inheritance. It says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, talking to the church, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the guarantee? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God, the Holy Spirit, is not a man that he should lie. We have to be careful that we don't compare man to God. Then we say, well, God, man lies, God's going to lie. No, God doesn't lie. God has sealed you with the promise of the Holy Spirit because you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. His plan is to draw you and I to him. And his plan is that you inherit the kingdom of God. So you have been predestined. Predestination is something that God has planned for everybody because he's not willing that any should perish. You have been predestined. Don't let anybody tell you you're not predestined to go to heaven. Yeah. I'm going to mess up some of my other religious people, but I don't really care. Says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee. Everybody say, he is the guarantee. He is the guarantee. Okay, what this means is that he is the down payment or the earnest money of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the glory, to the praise of his glory. The purchased possession is you and it's us. And so what he's saying is he is the guarantee. And what that means is, like, God is the earnest money. Now, how many of y'all own a house? Raise your hand if you own a house. Now, I got another question for you. How many of you don't really own the house, but you're making payments on the house? Okay, just want to get that right. It's like you own a pickup, but you don't really own it. The bank owns some of it. But some of y'all go, I own it all. Well, bless you, because you're doing the right thing. Amen. But here's the promise, the guarantee that he's talking about. The guarantee is that because you and I still live in this fleshly body, the sinful nature that is still in each and every Christian, you're going, now, well, listen, as long as that sin nature is in you, chances are real good, sooner or later, you're going to slip up and you're going to do a little bit of sinning along the way. And if you don't think you ever sin, you probably really need to hear this. Because there's a sin called pride. And the deception is great. So what we need is this guarantee, this down payment that God made for us when he sent his only begotten son. So we belong to God. We are his. But the culmination of the event will be when we are translated and this perishable body puts on imperishable, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the final payment will be made. No more struggle with sin anymore, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. Now, I'm talking to people that's worried about the COVID-19. I'm like, I am not worried. I just want to tell everybody. I'm not worried about it. Last time I read it, it said worrying is a sin. If I get the COVID-19 and I die, just say, thank God he got to go to heaven. Be happy for me. You can cry for yourself, but I'm good. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power and love and a sound mind. So what is he saying? He's saying, like that old Middle East proverb, he's saying, trust in the Lord and tie your camel tight. Trust in the Lord and be smart about it. Amen. Yeah. Tie your camel tight. Don't be stupid about things, but be smart. But don't worry about it. I want to put hope in you. I want to put confidence in you. I want to get that worry out of you. If that's possible. So here's his prayer. He says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. I've got to have some help this morning. So I need about five people. I mean, up here, don't be shy. Come on, Keith. Come on. There we go. She can come too if she wants to. She loves the preacher too. I know she does. Okay, so here it is. So I want you to see what Paul was praying for you. And because it's the word of God, this is God's prayer for you. This is God's will for you. Number one, that he will give to you the spirit of wisdom. See, when you want to have the spirit of wisdom, that means that that's going to be something you seek for. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give you liberally. So a lot of people, they don't value wisdom, so they don't ever have the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom, listen to this. Wisdom is anointed knowledge put into action. When God anoints the knowledge of the Word of God, in other words, He speaks the Word of God to you as you read the Word of God, and you ask yourself the question, how does this apply to me personally? Not how does this apply to my husband that really needs it, or my kids, or you know what I'm saying, right? It's how does this apply to me? Because we can put off all this stuff, but when we want the Spirit of wisdom, we want that for ourselves. Years ago when I was rodeoing, I was missing calves, and I was praying. I said, God, I needed the money, and it was a tough time for me. And I said, Lord, I need help. I'm messing up. I need to catch them calves. And God spoke to my heart just as clear as He could. He said, Randy, I know how to rope. Yeah. What? It had never occurred to me that He knew how to rope. But isn't it true that God knows everything? He knows how to make barbecue. He knows how to fix a car. He knows everything. Why would we not tap into the Spirit of wisdom? Why would we not do that? Why do we go living our lives halfway crippled and barely making it, but we don't have the nerve to ask God to give us the Spirit of wisdom? That's about all I have to say about that. The second thing is that you will have the revelation, that you will have revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, how to apply. And this is a progressive knowledge. It's not something that you just get overnight. Sometimes your life lessons will give you more knowledge of who He is. Sometimes when you get down and you get desperate and you're like at the end of your rope and you're just hanging on, and then God comes through and He speaks to you, then you have this knowledge of what God is capable of, and then you build on that because you know God can do much more than you can even ask or think. So we have this knowledge of Him to fully embrace the process of increasing perpetual knowledge of who God is and what He is capable of doing in you. Pray for the revelation knowledge of God that we might know Him. Listen to me. Only Jesus has all the information. I was listening to a documentary the other day, and the scientists figured out how the Red Sea got parted. I'm like, give me a break. Isn't this, the scientists got to figure out everything, because God forbid that they would actually trust God that He could actually do a miracle. So that leads me to this one. Yes. There you go, Vanna. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that what you see, that you'll be able to see things before other people see them. That's right. That's how that guy invented the television. Because he was able to see things before other people could see him, because his eyes had been enlightened toward that. God wants to enlighten your eyes about what you're actually capable of. He wants to enlighten you about how valuable you are in the kingdom of God. The devil wants to break you down. He wants to steal from you, and he wants to keep you cowering down to the world. But God wants to raise up a soldier, and He wants to raise up an army in the kingdom of God, and He wants to sign you up. And what's the little deal where the guy says that on the army deal, he said they want you? Yeah. That the eyes, now Winston Churchill, y'all listen to this, with his eyes fixed on Hitler, this was back just before World War II, he continually warned his nations and the world about the impending disasters that would come to Europe. In 1936, he embarked on a strenuous journey throughout Europe to warn them of the impending danger that they had and the danger that Hitler had to the entire world. And he said that they would, he said, surely he argued it is worth a supreme effort to control the hideous drift of events and arrest calamity in the threshold. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Now is the appointed time. But they said few listened. It's easy to get caught up in our own deception. It's easy to get so busy being busy that we don't have time to allow our understanding to be enlightened. And if the devil can keep you in the dark, and this happens a lot in the church, God help us, help me, help us to have our eyes enlightened with understanding. Have you ever known anyone, like I live in the roping world. Have you ever known anybody that thought they were actually better than they really were? And then you video them. And the video cameras don't lie. I threw that steer down this past week. I thought I was better than that. I learned something. I'm not near the man I used to be. God help us to have the confidence to move forward in what you have for us. And the fourth one is that you may know what is the hope of your calling, to know what you were created to do. Have you ever prayed and asked God to do something for you, and then the words after that was, I doubt if he's going to do that. You actually just, nobody's going to raise their hand on that one. I doubt if he does that. I did that one time. I was praying. I sprained my ankle just before a big, they was taking a bunch of boys hiking in the mountains. I wanted to go so bad. And the night before, I sprained my ankle. I couldn't even walk on it. And I knelt down on my bed. I remember kneeling down at my bed. Y'all getting tired yet? You okay? Okay. I knelt down at my bed, and I prayed for my ankle. And my words out of my mouth was, I doubt if you're going to do that, but I would really appreciate it if you would. Now, the faith preachers, they would never admit that they did a prayer like that. But God healed my ankle that night. He looked beyond my ignorance and showed his power. He looked beyond my lack of faith and showed his confidence and put confidence in me that he could heal me. Yes. What a gift. What a gift. So Abraham, it says, in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. In other words, he hoped against hope. That it wasn't a hope of mere, well, I hope it happens. It was a hope of knowing it was going to happen. How did he know? Y'all stay with me. The way that he knew was that God said it would happen. And when God says, now, when I go to a roping, I always believe I'll win. Always believe I'll win. Do I win all the time? Nope. I wished I did, but I don't. But did you hear what I just said? I wish. There's a difference between wishing and hoping. Yes. Wishing is, man, I wish. Wishing is like buying a lottery ticket and wishing you'd win. I mean, chances of that is like really slim. Yeah, don't get your hopes up. But when God says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's some strong words in there Do we believe in the confidence? And I want to put some confidence. Some of y'all need some of this today. Some of y'all need some confidence in God and confidence in your life that he will do exceeding abundantly above all that you could even ask or even think. It's a miracle working God. I believe that God can do anything myself. I want to put some confidence in you. The best illustration that I would have is when I was in college, I was doing the steer wrestling. And there was about 15 of us that had already bulldogged. And the judge said that the barrier didn't work. You got to give them a 10-foot head start. Said the barrier didn't work, and they got to run all the steer wrestlers over again. Well, everybody was happy about it except one person. You know which one? The one that was winning. Right, you're right. The one that was winning, he's like, I don't think that's right. So he went around to everybody trying to get them to go against the judges, and like nobody was with him. Nobody was on his side because he was like an island. I was winning second. And he comes out to me and he goes, Randy, this just isn't right. They shouldn't. I said, I kind of like it. I think it's good. He looked at me like, are you crazy? I said, no, I like it because I'm getting ready to beat you. I'm going to beat you. And I know it sounds cocky. I get that. But I had drawn a real good steer, a really good steer, probably the best steer in the herd. I had a great horse. I had practiced. I was ready. I didn't wish I would win. There was a knowing inside of me. I knew something good was fixing to happen. God wants to put that in you. He wants to put that knowing business inside of you. I know something good's gonna happen. And I'm gonna tell you what, it'll change your heart. It'll change your attitude. Anybody got a bad attitude right now? No, raise your hand. It's okay, you don't raise your hand. It'll change your attitude. Some of y'all need attitude changes. Amen. 12 of you said amen. That we would know the hope of his calling and that you would know what are the riches of the glory. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. He's ready. He's prepared. For those that love him, your job is to love God. Don't ever forget that. Your biggest job in life is to love God. Because if you love God, you're going to love your neighbor. And when you love your neighbor, you love God, you got it going on, and you're going to receive the glory of his inheritance. It's in verse 22, it says, and he put all things. Everybody say all things. Y'all need to hear this. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. The head over all things. Give him a hand. They did a great job. Good job, guys. Thank you. Thank you. You're the best. Thank you. Good job. Good job. A guy named Andre Crouch wrote a song called I've Got Confidence. I don't know if it's right or not, guys. We'll try it, okay? That's too high. Johnny, it's too high. There we go. When trouble, we're gonna go there. When trouble's in my way, I can't tell my night from day. When I'm tossed from side to side, like a ship on a raging tide, I don't worry, I don't fret. God has never failed me yet. I said, troubles come from time to time. That's all right. I'm not the worrying kind, because I've got confidence. My God's gonna see me through, no matter what the case may be. I know He's gonna fix it for me. I've got confidence. My God is gonna see me through, no matter what the case may be. I know He's gonna fix it for me. Listen to this. Job was sick. Slow down. Job was sick oh so long, till the flesh fell from his bones. Job's wife, his cattle and children, everything that he had was gone. But Job said, in his despair, he said he knew that God still cared. Sleepless days and sleepless nights. But Job said, honey, everything's all right, because I've got confidence. My God's gonna see me through, no matter what the case may be. I know He's gonna fix it for you. Sing it for me. I've got confidence. My God is gonna see me through, no matter what the case may be. I know He's gonna fix it for me. And that good? No matter what you're going through, I want you to walk out of these doors a different person than you walked in. Some of y'all have been ate up with a little bit of fear in your life. God wants to cast out that fear. Perfect love casts out all. Everybody say all. All fear. You walk in confidence. Walk in peace. What's the worst thing that can happen? Get the COVID and die and go to heaven. How bad can that be? How bad can that be, really? Don't cry for me. If I get it, I'll be good. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless your church, I pray. Lord, I thank you for your peace. Lord, the peace that we feel right now from confidence and faith in you. We thank you, Lord, that salvation is a gift of God. I thank you, Lord, that as we walk in the light, that you shed the light in our path, and that we don't have anything to worry about. Lord, we know this world is in turmoil, but we just declare right now that we will not participate in the turmoil. We'll not get caught up in the offense of the world, but we'll be faithful to love our neighbor. Whether they're lovable or not, we're going to love them. We're going to love our politicians, our leaders in our nation. I pray that you touch them and help them and heal them and give them wisdom, I pray. Give them this revelation, enlighten the knowledge of their eyes, and give them that spirit of wisdom. I thank you, Lord, for everybody here right now. I pray that your word would be alive and well inside each and every one of us, Lord, that we would look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. Give us your wisdom, we pray, in Jesus' name. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. The truth is, everybody in this building has sinned. Trust me, everybody sinned. But the difference is, it's not that we're perfect as Christian people, but it's that we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, and we're striving to be obedient to His word, because we know there's peace and there's joy from following Christ. So this morning, if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, the Bible says if we confess our sin, that He would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, maybe if you haven't, you just haven't been living for Him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make Him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up high. Anybody, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. Yep, thank you. Leave your hands up, please, until we get a Bible in. Yeah, thank you, back in the back. Please leave them up until we get Bibles in. Anybody else? Just, I don't want you to miss out on this most important time of your life. It's your spiritual birthday. It's a day that God's designed for you, that you've been predestined to come into his kingdom today. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Slip your hand up high. We don't want to miss anybody. If we didn't get a Bible in your hand, leave your hand up, please. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. Thank you, partner. Thank you, buddy. Anybody else? Thank you, partner. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. It's a gift of God. I know that in our world today, there's a catch to everything. There's not any catches to this. This is just a gift that God has made available to everybody that'll accept him as their Savior. Anybody else? Amen. Okay, if you raise your hand, I want you to look up at me. I'm going to invite you to come down. Come on down, buddy. Come on. Over here. Come on. If you look up at me, come on down and let me pray with you. If you raised your hand, I know. Yeah. Come on. Thank you. Come on, everybody. Come on, partner. Don't be ashamed. We had about 6 or 7 of y'all. Come on. Back in the back. Come on. Come on, buddy. Come on down. Yeah. Yeah. Back here. Come on. Yeah. Come on. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm telling you, it's important. It's a good deal. You're the bravest one. You got up first. I'm proud of you. Come on, baby. What's your name?
Cassandra.
That's a pretty name. How are you? Bless you, girl. I'm proud of you. Bless you, buddy. Man, I tell you what, it's a good day for her. It's a good day for her. Yeah, look at her. She's coming. I knew you'd come. Bless you, girl. I'm proud of you. I'm so proud. What? Tell me your name.
Dessa.
It's good to meet you, girl. Okay, now looky here. Here's what the Bible says. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. I know we have more hands, but if you didn't come down, you can pray anyway. Here's what the Bible says. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. I want to help you pray. But you have to believe yourselves, okay? You do that? Okay, y'all help us pray. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. Invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So proud of you all. Now look here. Look here. Just a second. Now when you go home, you'll have the same problems you had when you came. This ain't going to change that. But what changes is the inside, okay? I don't want to mislead you in any way. This is what changes on the inside. And you have to feed the good things in you. And the way you do that is through the Word of God and by showing up for church. We can't help you if you don't show up.
Right.
A lot of people come down here, but they don't ever come back. So I just want to invite you. And this is a decision that you all have to make. As individuals, am I going to keep after this, or is it something that's just going to be a one-day deal? That's not the way it works. Is that good? Because now you belong to Jesus. You've been born again. And so this is your spiritual birthday, June. What is it? The 28th. It's your spiritual birthday. So congratulations. Hey. Go visit those people over there standing up for just a second, if you don't mind. So proud of you. Bless you, girl. Thank you. Bless you, partner. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Stand with me, please. So it says, salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it says, faith without works is dead. Right? So salvation is a gift, but after we receive that gift, God wants us to reach people, to teach them, to disciple them, to baptize them, and to help other people get to heaven, right? So we got a few empty chairs. Let's get out there this week. Let's make a difference. How many will say, preacher, I don't like, I when I was in high school, we played football, and I hated sitting on the bench. I played tailback. And I say, coach, can I play? He said, get your tail back on the bench. No, not really. But we need to get off the bench. We got way too many people sitting on the bench in church. So let's just, and it's just whoever you come in contact with, whether you're at the grocery store or whether you're shopping, wherever you're at, invite them to church. Invite your neighbors. Make a difference. Amen. How many say, preacher, I need a little more faith in my life? Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Let's raise both hands. Lord, we submit to you tonight, today. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to make a difference in people's lives that we come in contact with. We thank you, Lord, that you are more than able and more than willing, that you love us with an undying love, oh God. Help us to love you back just the way you love us, and help us to love other people the way that you love other people. Lord, for that, we will give you praise, and we'll give you honor. We'll give you glory, and we walk away from this building today in confidence, knowing that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. We love you.